right along. What a busy night. I promise you it'd be busy. James Fetzer is with us this hour. Professor Fetzer has a new book. You can see it at the top of Rents.com. It is called America Nuked on 9/11. And indeed, this is a book you cannot also afford to be without if you want to understand what's going on right now. We're still suffering from the ramifications of our own government nuking us. That's what happened. You don't believe me? Read the book. I think most of you understand that buildings, and I did run a video of the top 100 building demolitions. These are controlled demolitions, mostly by CDI, Controlled Demolitions Incorporated. Lots of other companies, though. Big buildings, 20, 30, 40 stories. You can watch them fall, watch how they crumble. There's no question that Building 7, for example, was dropped, probably with traditional explosives. The World Trade Center towers, in my view, were dropped, but not by traditional demolition techniques. That building was essentially vaporized. Anyway, there's a whole lot to this. Jim has been on this for a long time. The new book is just out, America Nuked on 9/11. You can look at the cover. It's right there at the top of the homepage. You'll see it. Jim, welcome back. Congratulations. Another milestone book.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. This is a culmination of all the work since 2005 when I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in order to bring experts in different disciplines, physicists, pilots, engineers, mechanical, structural, electrical, aeronautical, together to pool their expertise. Because if there's anything I know, it's that there are many areas where I need the assistance of experts, and I think that turns out to be one of my greatest strengths.
Well, you have contributed as much, if not more, than any single person to this revelation of reality that our country has been raped by powers within, the powers that have taken control of our lives, our destiny, and killed, almost 2,700 people, what's called 3,000. And look what they got out of it. They destroyed a sovereign nation, a nation of Iraq. This led to the deaths of millions of people, ultimately, in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Middle East. We're still paying for it. This is all about oil, all about greed, and all about controlling the American public through fear. That's the mechanism. Go ahead.
Even in Afghanistan, we appear to have been after their vast mineral resources, including one of the world's greatest supplies of lithium, which, of course, is used in electric car batteries,
yeah,
and in computers and triggers for nuclear weapons. When you stop and think about it, Jeff, you begin to realize that the fact that this was a nuclear event is obvious once you appreciate that a key sign, a signature of nuclear events is the conversion,
right,
of materials into very fine dust.
Correct.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, another is the extraordinarily high temperatures generated, which can be in millions of degrees, which is why it would actually vaporize 60 or 80 tons or more of the steel, which just no longer was there. And why we have in addition, the rapid destruction. I mean, this appears to have been using a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes that have been given to Israel in the form of Davy Crockett warheads that the Israelis had manufactured, reprocessed to bring back into this country. By one account, using a submarine to deliver them to New York,
but also
potentially diplomatic pouches, which, you know, are immune from investigation.
Correct.
Which is,
sure,
obviously...
Listen, this is a sieve. They're easy to get them in here.
That's right. Then you have the destruction of the North Tower, all 110 stories standing upright in 11 seconds. I mean, that's fairly stunning, where I offer the simple model of how it would be done, not that this is exactly how it was, but just to understand conceptually. So you have these micro or mini nukes that are located in the core columns, these massive 47 massive core columns. They're directed upwards. They have a radius of 100 feet. The buildings are 208 feet on the side.
Perfect.
And you blow them upwards, say, to take out a cube of 10 floors per second, with 110 floors, that would require 11 seconds, which is the government's own estimate. And then because the South Tower, the top three cubes are tilting to the side, they're blown as 1 and 9. And, you know, I mean, then we have all these effects of weird cancers. In fact, the latest study showed that there are two different programs. One has 48,000 subjects and the other 16, so we're approaching 70,000 who have suffered esophageal, pancreatic, multiple myeloma, lymphoma.
Understand that, excuse me, Jim, but understand the 2,700 or so, 3,000 I mentioned, it's like the Gulf War. We didn't lose 2,000 or however many really died. We lost a couple hundred thousand people. This is an outrage. Yeah, ultimately it'll go to 100,000, I'm sure, 9/11. That's how many Americans will be sacrificed.
Yeah, I'm even now tweaking this very interesting article from Russian sources that showed up today, but actually had been published a while back, and I think it's just fortuitous, Jeff, that it showed up, because it's very, very good in general, and it reinforces the role of nukes here. What the book does, of course, is to go into great detail of who was responsible, why it was done, how it was done, where it's ironic that the inspiration for the architects and engineers, which have absolutely siphoned up, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of Americans who have been concerned, and they get the impression that because this is a lot of architects and engineers are doing good work, but they've been fixated on something called nanothermite, which actually is a sophisticated version of an incendiary. It generates very high temperatures, 4,000, not millions, 4,000, for example, in bright light, but it doesn't have the rapid gas expansion properties of explosives. It cannot have blown apart the building. So you got architects and engineers who won't talk about who was responsible. They won't tell you why it happened, and they'll give you an incomplete explanation saying nanothermite was used, where, in fact, nanothermite turns out to be a product of the actual use of the nukes that took the buildings apart. And you have a similar role with Judy Wood and her DO group. It's always been a vague theory. But when I confront them with the results of the U.S. Geological Survey dust studies, which include a whole host of elements that would not have been present unless this had been a nuclear event, barium and strontium, thorium, uranium, lithium, lanthanum, yttrium, chromium, they can't explain it, Jeff, which reflects that this is a very unscientific group. In fact, when I published a review of Judy Wood's book, Where Did the Towers Go, on Amazon.com, before I organized and conducted the Vancouver hearing in June of 2012, I discovered after I gave it a 5-star rating, because it brings together a massive compilation of the evidence. But at the conference, we had so much proof that it was done with nukes that I eventually was forced to revise it. But would you believe, in the meanwhile, there have been thousands of attacks on my review of the book, and today there are like 7,500. I mean, it's just stunning. Because neither of these groups will talk about who is responsible and why, and their explanations of how it was done are hopelessly inadequate and incomplete.
Right.
So I believe we actually have here the actual solution to what happened on 9/11.
Well, it's time. You've done the work. You've proven it. You look at the anomalies that are never talked about regarding 9/11. How far away were those cars that were literally melted? Blocks.
The so-called toasted cars.
Yeah.
That's one of the claims Judy has made, that only her theory of directed energy weapons could explain them.
No.
But in fact, they're explained, on the basis of the nuke theory, because of the exposure to radiation causes
correct.
The same effects. And the nuke theory, I mean, the directed energy weapon theory, which has never been very specific, always been rather vague for lack of being able to specify what these devices were, can't account for all those results of the dust survey. So I actually, when I revised my review, from a 5-star to a 3. I added all the dust evidence and the anomalies from the medical evidence because a scientist, Jeff, will revise their theory in the face of recalcitrant evidence. You get new evidence, new hypotheses. You may have to reject hypotheses you previously accepted, accept hypotheses you previously rejected, and leave others in suspense.
But
her group does not do that. They are steadfast, devoted to this, what's virtually a sacred text with a mystical leader, Judy herself, and has a Praetorian guard that viciously attacks anyone who questions her.
7,500 posted comments worth.
Yes. Can you believe that, Jeff?
Yeah.
That's got to be a new indoor record.
That is, that's
and
pretty
that's
remarkable.
Not on the book. That's on my review of the book.
I understand. Well, I had Judy on the program, I think twice, once for sure, or maybe twice. And she's very articulate. It's a very expensively produced book. It's hardback, at least the cover I had, as I remember it.
Oh, no, it is, yeah.
And what is the building next to the towers with the enormous hole blown up out of it?
Six. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at that. Look at the photo. I put some photos up of that that you have, but very few people have seen. And there's another one right there. Now, I don't think seven was taken down the same way, Jim. It just looks like a controlled demo. Dropped it. That's why when Silverstein said pull it, it had to look like it was pulled.
Yes. Can you imagine the contortions they've gone to try to suggest that when he was talking about, you know, they were worried he was in consultation with someone he described as the fire commander. This actually is a guy in charge of demolition. And he says they were so concerned. There'd been so much death and devastation. What should they do about Building 7? And Silverstein says to him, well, I think we should pull it, which is, of course, a classic construction term for taking down by controlled demolition.
Of course.
And he says, and they made the decision to pull it, and we watched the building come down.
Yeah.
Now those who want to apologize for Silverstein and suggest that he wasn't, in fact, culpable here when he obviously was, say he was talking about pulling the firemen out of the building, but there weren't any firemen in the building to pull. I mean, Jeff, this gets so ludicrous.
It does. Know, well, the poor Silverstein had to, he was punished. They gave him $4 or $6 billion that he had to live with. I don't know how he managed.
Right, because when he first, you know, he only took possession. This was the only time that the World Trade Center had come into private hands, 6 weeks before the event.
It was right before, the first time major buildings had ever been insured against terror attacks, and I think it was double indemnity, I don't remember.
That's right. Well,
but it was crazy.
He got that double thing, Jeff, by having a terrorist clause, and then claiming because there were two planes, there had been two attacks, and so on, like a $114 million investment. He got
two separate acts,
$4.5 billion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, he always had breakfast at the windows on the world at the top of the North Tower, he and his daughter, who also...
Except...
That day, they somehow... He claimed his wife had made a dermatological appointment for him, right?
Ah, the old dermo excuse.
Oh, okay. I know.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It really is. We know what happened. You've got it. It's in the book. I mean, we know what did we know? 90% of what happened?
I think that's right. And, you know, I mean, we have the core nailed down. We know who is responsible. We know how it was done.
Yeah.
We know why it was done.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was basically to transform American foreign policy from one in which we, at least officially, never attacked any nation that had not attacked us first, to one in which we became an aggressor nation.
That's right.
Taking out a series of countries, really, to benefit Israel. This was of no benefit to the United States other than picking up, Iraqi oil, picking up lithium from Afghanistan, and notice we're still there. And, of course, as you know, Jeff, protecting the poppy crops. I mean, the CIA got addicted to opium in the Southeast Asia, and they've continued now in relation to Afghanistan. I mean, our Central Intelligence Agency has become the biggest drug-running operation in the world, which is why we can't smoke marijuana. They don't want to weaken. They want to keep the war on drugs
going. Yeah, captive audience. You bet.
And prop up the price of their product.
Well, look, Wesley Clark, everyone's seen that. I'm sure all of you have seen that. He called it. This was an agenda. This was the beginning of a number of wars of conquest in the Middle East and subjugation fought for the Israeli Jewish state. Ultimately, the Rothschild banking cartel, the cabal, headquartered in the city of London, which is not the city of London. I'm going to make this clear again. The city of London is a 1 square or 2 square mile area in London, which is not at all in any way accountable to any laws in England. It's a completely sovereign nation state in the middle of London.
You'll appreciate this. Muammar Gaddafi at one point observed that if you want to end terrorism in the world, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London.
Well, Muammar Gaddafi was a very wise man.
He was a benevolent dictator. I mean, Americans, he's been so demonized, don't realize this guy was using the wealth of Libya to benefit the Libyan people. National health care, national public education, national warehouses stocked with food. If anyone was hungry, they could go to a warehouse.
God, and if we only had a president like that, come on! Look at the criminal we have in there now. Look at this inhuman gangster that they're trying to install to follow along with him. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually getting there because in addition, if you had a medical problem that could be dealt with in Libya, the government would fly you and a friend or relative anywhere in the world
to get the best medical treatment.
But he was also introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis and the gold dinar. And we now know from Hillary's declassified emails, Jeff, that the real reason for slaughtering Libya was because the Western banking interests, read that, Rothschilds, were upset about the gold dinar, and France wanted to preserve Africa as its neocolonial preserve, and were worried that Gaddafi's influence was growing. That's bad enough, because they came in with the NATO planes and these mercenaries, and they were paid three times for the same body. Once to kill it, once to chop it up, and once to burn it, rape became ubiquitous. Believe it or not, Gaddafi was surrendering to a location specified.
He was a white flag.
By the Department of State under a white flag, exactly. And Hillary had the convoy interdicted and had him brutally murdered, castrated, sodomized.
She is a woman. There's no punishment too severe for her.
And then she cackled about it, Jeff.
I know. I've played
she
that.
She paraphrased, Shakespeare, Caesar.
We came, we saw, he died.
He died and cackles about it.
No, the woman is not human. Here's, in case you missed it, here's General Wesley Clark, and one of the most honest things he's ever done, talking about the agenda that he stumbled across, which is exactly what happened. Oh, here. Whoop, where's my audio? Come on, here. All right, turn it up. That might help. Okay.
This was at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2007.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got to go up here and do one more little thing here. Hold on. And there. And now I've got to pull this over. Sometimes I think many of you have experienced this. Your computer does strange things.
Yeah.
It kind of acts as if it's artificially intelligent already. Now I can't find the doggone...
Well, I'll just talk some more about the book while you're looking
please,
for it.
Yeah, please.
There are 28 chapters in the book, Jeff.
Six
chapters about who was responsible and why. I mean, some really sensational stuff, including, for example, a chapter by Susan Lindauer, who is a CIA liaison.
Oh, she's been on the program a number of times.
She's a wonderful person.
Yes,
Saddam Hussein, who was so eager to avoid war with the United States, that he offered to buy 1 million cars a year for the next 10 years, and as she was leaving, he said, if that's not enough, make it 20. I mean, imagine the effects on the country if instead of squandering trillions of dollars to benefit Israel, we'd accepted Saddam's request for 20 million cars? I mean, think of it, because...
That's a fact. That's amazing.
Fact. Absolutely. And Dick Kohlerstrom has a wonderful chapter about 9/11 in Zion, what was Israel's role, where Nick is a leading expert in the world on the London 7/7 subway bombing. He's made a brilliant contribution.
He's been on to, he's an extremely wise and staggeringly well-informed man. Just remarkable.
He is just a sensational guy. When I think David Cameron was saying something about, you know, anyone who is, you know, talks about 9/11 or criticizes the government in any way should be suspected of being a terrorist. He immediately took his book on the 7/7 and went down to Scotland Yard to turn himself in. Because he knew this was so sweeping. Well, Scotland Yard, of course, politely declined to accept his surrender. But it had the effect of just, you know, castrating the policy that was being promoted by the government. It made it look ridiculous.
Speaking of Scotland Yard, you probably saw the story that the Ecuadorian embassy is, Ecuador is enraged. They had that guy at 2:30 a.m. climbing the wall of the outside to get to Assange's room. They were going to kill him. And they called Scotland Yard, and Scotland Yard took its damn long time to get there. This is really disgusting. And then 4 weeks ago yesterday was the attempt, that I firmly believe, to kill Donald Trump in Trump Tower that went awry at the last moment. You know it. I think I sent you the stuff, but no one touched that story. I pushed the hell out of it. Nobody picked it up.
This guy had allegedly died many years
2009.
He had died. A weapon that was manufactured with no serial number. It's not just that the serial number...
No, it was made for a wet operation.
It was made for an assassin's weapon. He had a special silencer. I agree 100% with you, Jeff.
This was
an attempt to take him out.
By the way, that guy's name... he was shot through the shoulder in the line of duty, allegedly died from a 9mm through the shoulder. I think it was a 9mm. Through the shoulder. And,
I thought you had to have a serious injury to die from a bullet wound.
That's what I've heard, too. He died from a shoulder wound. One of his own people shot him, allegedly, while they were staking out a bank robbery, FBI. He dies, 2009. Former FBI Director Mueller reads the obituary. They made a big deal out of it at his funeral, and the guy shows up 4 weeks ago dead, a zombie, in the Trump Tower, captured by the Secret Service, turned over to New York police, apparently, who photographed him. And you know what his name is, folks? That's Obama's word. His name is Barry, as in Barry Satoru Obama. Lee, as in Lee Harvey Oswald, Patsy. Last name, Bush. Barry Lee Bush.
That's great.
Is that incredible?
That's too much, Jeff.
You can't make that up. You can't make that up. All right, I got Wesley Clark here lined up. Now, this man, General Clark, was told, and he let this out, I don't know if he should have or not, but he did, what America's plans were. And I'll just let you listen. This is before the conquest of Iraq, before the destruction of Libya, before the ongoing, really egregious war in Afghanistan, and now Syria. Here's Clark.
After 9/11, I went through the Pentagon, and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who used to work for me, and one of the generals called me, and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, no. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I get."
Hang on. This was a statement made on Democracy Now. Yeah. Hopefully
he gave this speech at the Commonwealth Club, as I mentioned, but
I guess they don't know what else to do.
Here it is.
So
I guess they don't know what else to do.
Find some information connecting Saddam to Al Qaeda. He said, no. He says there's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
There you go. Okay. Nothing by accident. No coincidences. All planned. Nothing left to chance. All planned.
And these are all countries that Israel wanted to have taken
absolutely
out to minimize their ability to counterbalance Israel.
It's all about the plan for greater Israel.
Domination
it's all about
of the Middle East. That's right, Jeff. Absolutely and
I,
right.
Yeah, I asked one scholar about the control and influence over the Middle East that Israel has, and I said, how many governments of Middle Eastern, Arab, Islamic countries as Israel penetrated and controls? And he said, this is Hesham, Dr. Talawi. He said, all of them. He said, Israel is into all of them. So
people just have no idea, you know. The apologists for Israel say, how can this little country have such influence? I mean, that's like saying, how could you have a British Empire because the United Kingdom is relatively
small?
It's got nothing to do with the size of the country.
Somebody saying something like that is woefully under-equipped to handle the answer, obviously. They shouldn't have to ask the question. It's a silly question.
Yep.
They don't understand power.
The whole conception appears to have originated in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu, who held a conference already in Jerusalem and published a book entitled Terrorism, How the West Can Win in 1987, prior to the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1990-91,
right,
where these neoconservative, most of them dual citizens with Israel in the Project for a New American Century, believed there was now a unique historical opportunity to create a worldwide American empire that would endure for the next 100 years if only we'd move aggressively into the geopolitically sensitive area of the Middle East and exert military and diplomatic pressure outward. But, Jeff, as you know, they bemoaned the American people wouldn't realize this opportunity was at hand, might let it slip through their fingers, unless there was some catalytic traumatizing event, such as, they said this themselves, a new Pearl Harbor. And they went about, you know, setting it up, taking 2 white elephants in New York, and then faking an attack on the Pentagon that was supposed to be the justification for a declaration of war.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Military command and control center.
Yep. Very carefully planned, and yet so easy, really, to see through it when you do the research, which you've done, and it's in your book. We don't have to wait as long as we did with JFK. We've got 9/11 solved. It's in Jim Fetzer's book.
The internet has made such a difference, you know.
Absolutely.
Collaborative research, Jeff. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, there's some sensational stuff in here. For example, Don Fox, Ed Ward, and Jeff Prager, mystery solved. The WTC was nuked on 9/11. I got Dennis Camino, who is the leading expert in the world on the Pentagon, reflections on the Pentagon, all kinds of stuff. I got an aeronautical engineer who is demonstrating that no Boeing 757 could have hit the Pentagon, that the official trajectory wasn't even aerodynamically possible because it had a 757 traveling 400 to 500 miles an hour.
It would have lost its lift. That low to the ground.
It couldn't have got anywhere near to the ground, closer than 60 or even 80 feet, which is higher than the Pentagon is tall at that speed because of downdraft or ground effect, as it's
perfect.
Sometimes.
Yeah, perfect. It's all in the book. Jim's new book, again, it's on the homepage at Rents. America nuked on 9/11. Absolutely. No question about it. By the way, in the, what is it, Fresh Kills Landfill? Were they, was that the name of it? Fresh Kills?
Yes.
I think
yes.
So. Yeah, they hold a lot of junk there. They didn't let anybody in, but some people, I guess, got in early on with Geiger counters, or at least one, and there was some hot material there. Much of the stuff, of course, was sent away to India, where they have no problem burning human life, and they take ships apart there, and they recycle the steel, which is what they did with the 9/11 steel. They took it all away, out of the country, gone. Whatever was left, it's like the Mura building in OKC, in the OKC bombing. The debris from the Mura building is at one location buried, and it has an 8 or 10 foot tall cyclone fence with triple barbed wire all the way around it. It's guarded 24 hours a day by armed guards. You can't go anywhere near that. Now, why? Why?
Right. How bizarre is that, Jeff? How bizarre is that?
Totally bizarre.
You got rebel from what was supposed to be a fertilizer bomb blowing up this massive building? And, of course, we know that's all wrong. There were two seismic recordings. There was the relatively modest, then this very massive.
Yeah.
And you even had firemen who were bringing unexploded devices out from underneath.
We have recordings of them. It's saying we're removing unexploded devices from the building. And, yeah, it's all. How many people were killed to shut them up, too? Remember one of the brave cops, a black guy, I think, was involved with trying to rescue people. He was killed off. They killed a lot of people to shut him up.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but a lot of people are dying today because of the DNC scandal.
Well, Hillary Clinton, Clinton death list.
The Seth Rich guy, I mean, he was the IT guy for the DNC. He was responsible for investigating voter fraud and election theft, and he apparently had had enough of it, was going to the FBI when he was whacked in Georgetown, of all places, shot twice in the back. And Julian Assange has intimated that he indeed was their source. I think he was open about that.
Right.
What he was uncertain about was who precisely had killed him. But he observes that those who provide us with documents run certain risks. Indeed, they do. And then you had a guy who filed a class action lawsuit against the DNC.
Yeah.
And he winds up dead too, Jeff.
I mean, this
is ridiculous beyond words.
He died on the bathroom floor in his place with his girlfriend right there or something.
It's just ludicrous beyond words.
We are the great Satan on the planet. This country is insane. It is beyond evil. Human life means nothing to these people. Remember the 19-year-old kid who allegedly in Las Vegas tried to grab the cop's gun and was going to shoot Trump? That's a mind control thing. Nobody in their right mind does that. That's crazy.
That was in a public rally. Right?
All right, that's one. Now we got the other one 4 weeks ago with Barry Lee Bush, the dead FBI agent. How many more are there on the drawing board? I don't know. It scares me. I worry about it all the time. And I do think that Trump is going to win by a substantial margin, if not a landslide. I think America's finished with this this horrible combination of criminality and good old boy insider stuff, which we call government. And they're done. They're done with it. They're not buying it. They may not say it. The people may not admit they're going to vote for Trump. But I think on Election Day, a lot of people are going to vote for Trump.
And a lot of people who, because of social pressure, are hesitant to publicly
acknowledge
the pollsters.
No, they won't say it. They'll lie to pollsters. Polls are corrupt anyhow.
They'll lie anyhow.
You're right. You're totally right.
There's studies showing around the country that are given a 9-point margin to benefit Hillary. They've even redone their algorithms and programs to guarantee an outcome that is discrepant with what they ought to be. It's shocking.
All right, let me call your attention. I'll be taking this down pretty soon to the top political art piece at Rents, and you'll see, not that we are particularly interested in seeing, but we'll see Hillary's backside, okay? The thing to look at is the item under her pants. The woman wears pantsuits all the time, big jackets. Sometimes she looks like she's 20 pounds heavier one day, and then thinner the next, and people have suggested that she is wearing, among other things, some kind of a cardio vest to shock her heart in case she has a heart attack.
A defibrillation vest, that's right.
A defib, that's it, defib vest. Okay,
right.
There may also be some kind of a fanny pack with other issues that are perhaps dosing her with medication, uppers, to keep her up and alert and awake.
Yes.
Now, if you look at the back, have you seen this picture?
Is this the one with the catheter tube?
Yeah, yeah. It's clearly a tube that is showing. That's not a wrinkle in her pants. There's something under there.
A number of suggestions she's wearing adult diapers, too, and that when she had to take that disappearing act during the debate,
it's because she
pooped in her pants.
Well, that is certainly possible. She's lost, if that is a catheter, and I can't prove it is or isn't, but she's certainly incontinent, and that's another problem. Who knows? Maybe she was getting injected with some more uppers because she took 96 hours off, made one appearance in Nantucket at a Rothschild fundraiser, and now she's off until at least next, I guess, this Thursday or Friday. She's just not able to do it. She doesn't have it.
And Jeff, with all this concern about her health, she's refusing to release her up-to-date detailed medical records.
Not ever going to happen.
Nothing going to happen. Settled the deal.
No.
But WikiLeaks released that Hillary's advisors contacted the NFL commissioner to ask about, concussion suffered by football players because of her cracked head.
That's right.
Where she fell in December of 2012, leading to her resignation as Secretary of State in February of 2013, where Bill himself said that, it took her 6 months to get over the concussion. The question is, what caused her to fall in the first place? I mean, the concussion...
I don't think the concussion caused the current problems. I think the fall was certainly predisposed her to fall by a prior condition. May well be Parkinson's. It could be dementia. It could be anything. She may also have cancer, oral cancer. That hole in her tongue was obviously an excision, a perfectly round circular excision.
Yes. Yes.
I have the before and after pictures. You've seen
That's
them.
Right.
Of a, she
yep,
had
yep.
a tumor on her
I
tongue. A growth, a tumor, whatever you want to call it, a lesion. If you look on the right side of the page, I've tried to kind of categorize these things. There's a feature story box that says Hillary's failing health. And I've got section headers under that. The chicken head seizure, I call it. The keep talking seizure. And under that are stories that contain videos of exactly what happened. The apparent catheter tube is there as well. She can't walk upstairs. The tongue hole, you can see the before and after pictures. You can look at all these things. The bizarre balloon behavior, there's another one at the DNC. She's actually pictured in another scene being held up by a Secret Service agent behind her, holding her up. She's on a little riser so she can speak. Her coughing fits, you can see video of that as well. You can see the railing that was installed at Joe Biden's childhood home. You can see her leaning on the railing, and when she's in the house, you can see video of her leaning on the kitchen table and leaning on chairs. She's touching something at all times to keep from falling down. All right? So there you go. It's all there on the right-hand side.
Have you seen the variation on her, this H with an arrow? It's her logo.
Yeah, it
does. Now it's been turned into a sign. It says hospital H with the arrow this way for Hillary.
Yeah. I ran that the other day.
Yeah, I love it.
Look, if Trump were suffering from any of these things, we'd never hear the end about it. Never. It would be constant in the media, demanding he go to a doctor or a specialist and demanding that the records and the results be released. Demanding. That's what the media would do. They're not doing anything with these things. They're ignoring them. Did you see the clip of her on Kimmel? He asked her directly, is there anything wrong with your health? She didn't answer the question. She did a typical Hillary two-step and dodged it.
She made a joke about it. They tried to make light of it, that it was a comical event. I think she had to not answer the question because otherwise she would be pilloried when the truth comes out People say that, one of these documents that appears to be from her doctor is a fake document. That doesn't mean, however, that the content of the document is untrue. And, in fact, that's a typical way to deceive people. It was the Dan Rather sting when he ran a story about a fitness report on W where Karen Hughes and Karl Rove had realized the threat it represented, so they had it retyped using a more current font than was available when it was originally dictated and typed. So Dan Rather had verified every word with the commanding officer who dictated it, and the secretary typed it, But when he made this story public, he was immediately attacked by the Bush people, saying that it was a fake document, which they were able to prove because, of course, they created it. So I think this may be a similar thing with his health report from her doctor, who the latest I understand, when asked about Hillary's health, has no comment. That's my understanding.
Oh, I'd like to see that in print. If you find it, send it, will you? Because, no comment means I don't want to go to court. I don't want to end up being charged with... what,
and fraud? Of course, all these new emails,
perjury?
You know, with it from Human, all that reveal how Hillary was giving special access to the Clinton Foundation donors. Jeff, the record here of the Clinton Foundation corruption is overwhelming.
It's Mount Everest. It's it's absolutely unspeakably criminal. And yet the woman is not being roasted by the media. They won't. Let me say one other thing, Jim. And I say this to all of you listening, wherever you are, American or otherwise, and your country's media will do the same thing that ours does, maybe not to the extent, but if nothing else from this election cycle, you should learn never, ever trust the mainstream media again.
Yes.
Do your own research. They lie, they cheat, they are frauds, and many of them are outright government employees.
Yes. Well, Wayne Manson's done some brilliant work on the Clinton Foundation, and I was asked to guest host a show just, I think it was yesterday. Uh-huh. And I read 40 or 50 of these transactions where we had the party, the amount of money they gave, and what benefit they received. I mean, it is staggering. I mean, you're talking about $25 million here, $5 million there. One, the Chagorny Group out of India, gave $5 million with a $1 trillion promise.
What?
I mean,
What? They promised an additional trillion?
Yeah, it's absolutely staggering. I know, I had to look at that number and say, gee, am I counting the right number of zeros? Let's see, there's three more. Oh my God, there's three more again. It was a trillion in addition.
Wow. Well,
I know, it's unreal. It's unreal.
The Clinton Foundation, if Donald Trump were involved with something like that, I would call for Trump to step down. Go away. No one is doing that with her.
He has very appropriately called for an independent prosecutor.
Absolutely.
Because even James Corney is tied in with the Clinton Foundation. Loretta Lynch was part of the legal team way back in the White
House. That's right.
There appear to be 100 members of the Obama administration who are tied in, networked into the Clinton Foundation.
The most criminal, non-governmental, allegedly, organization in American political history.
She turned her position as Secretary of State into a cash machine, a cash cow.
It's a slush fund. She built the biggest slush fund ever. Billions have gone through the Clinton Foundation. We don't even know how much has gone through because in the beginning, no one was paying particular attention to it. The Clintons are above all laws. They're answerable to no one. They can do what they want. Donald Trump, 2 days ago, said, Hillary acts like she can do anything she wants. And that is entirely accurate. That's exactly how she acts.
I'm not a big fan of Rudy Giuliani because of his role in 9/11. He was clearly complicit, but he
Absolutely.
Was making the point that this scandal may be greater than Teapot Dome, and I think that's right.
It
I
should
mean, you
be.
Go back in American history, that's one of the great outstanding scandals. This dwarfs it by many times.
I agree. I completely concur. If you want to look up, by the way, regarding Jim's new book, America and the nukes used on 9/11. Look up Wikipedia under nuclear artillery. Nuclear artillery. It's a subset of limited yield tactical nuclear weapons. All right. The nuclear weapons, these are small atomic bombs, are launched from a huge piece of artillery. And they were called Davy Crockett, among other things, in the early days, in the late 50s. They had them by 1953, actually. And these warheads, as Jim earlier mentioned, could easily have been given to the Israelis and smuggled in here. They only weigh about 80 pounds. Any man could pick one up. It's wild. So look up nuclear artillery and just look at the business of delivering nuclear bombs, atomic bombs, with artillery. It's right there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I know. They did. They took the Davy Crockett warheads and reworked them to use them as mini nukes on 9/11 to take down the towers. Here's another irony, by the way. Because the definition that Judy Wood offers for directed energy weapons is devices that can provide far more energy than conventional and can be directed, it fits, it qualifies mini nukes. So actually she was right. It was directed energy weapons, just not the type, the exotic one she had in mind.
Yeah, yeah. She was talking, as I remember, that some of this stuff came from space, maybe a weapons platform above, shooting downward with some kind of beam weapon. No. Not necessary at all. Maybe that stuff exists up there, but they're not going to use that. No need.
Well, the energy requirements for space-mounted weapons of this kind would be astronomical.
I don't know how they would do it unless they had a nuclear propulsion system up there to propel them, to power them.
They can also be ground-based or airborne or put in a dirigible.
Hey, look, it's real simple. They took seven down with typical, traditional building demolition charges. Watch it fall. I sent you the video just now. You can look at, there's 100 examples of it. I'll repost that video tonight so all of you can look at 100 buildings being dropped. And just look, it's quite clear what's going on. And then as far as the towers go, you call them shaped charges if you want, just warheads with a certain radius where they expand, and that's where the impact is contained. And they used them in the towers. They cored out the buildings and they just dropped.
That's right. They blew upward. They took it down in sections from the top down to try to simulate a collapse. But
structural
it was no
failure.
Kind of collapse. I mean, you can't look at it. And Jeff, a key part of it that people don't seem to understand is they had to protect what's known as the bathtub. These buildings were erected within a kind of a dike to keep Hudson River water out. If the bathtubs had been damaged, Hudson River water would have flooded beneath the most valuable real estate in the world, the subways, the path train tunnels. So they had to find a way to destroy the buildings without allowing the buildings to collapse onto the bathtub. That was why they had to have this ingenious design. And I even had Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, a first responder, observing to me on two different occasions on my shows during interviews that they are actually destroyed below ground level. I mean, you know, to ground level, but there was just nothing there that was allowed to hit the bathtub. That was they needed an ingenious design, and they came up with it as being flame.
Yeah, the bathtub was clear when they had the rubble pretty well removed. It was an enormous... hugely reinforced concrete rectangular box, basically, to keep the water out.
Yeah. And people say, well, it was sort of sagged in at one point. Yeah, but the Hudson River never flooded. It didn't crack. It continued to play its essential role.
Right.
Because, I mean, it would have been devastating to Lower Manhattan had the bathtub been shattered.
I wonder what floor they actually located the nukes. It wasn't down in the basement. It was up higher.
Oh, it was a whole series of floors, you have to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I like you could start floor 100 and then 90 and then 80, and each time going upward and taking out 10 floors from in a sequence from the top down, and then converting all of these buildings into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust that settled all over New York. I mean, it was a
if you look, ask anybody in the demolition business or do any research, and you'll understand that when a building of, let's just say, 100 stories falls, there's supposed to be a 25 to 30% rubble pile left, not dust.
Actually, I think it's 12, and that's exactly...
Is it 12? Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah. That's exactly what we had with the 47th floor, Building 7. When it was all destroyed, there was 5.5 floors.
Ah,
12% of 47.
The perfect ratio. Okay.
Yeah, if you had 12% of 110, it would have been more than double that. It would have been in excess of 10, like 13, 14 floors. And it's not there. There's nothing there.
No.
But that's all known from experience with controlled demolition. And you're exactly right. Building 7 was a classic controlled demolition. Danny Jankowitz, who was a Dutch... explosives expert, was shown video of Building 7. He said, oh, this is a professional job. This was taken down, you know, and he explained how it was done. And when he was told it was on 9/11, he was dumbfounded.
Wow.
And of course, because he spoke honestly in response, he winds up dead, needless to say.
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
All right, I'll put this story up tonight in the Night News Batch at Rents. Any doubts about 9/11 being a controlled demo? Look. And you can turn the video on and just watch building after building being dropped. You'll see. It's all there. Congratulations on the book, James. Wonderful work. America Nuked on 9/11 by Jim Fetzer. And you give your co-author some credit here. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, but there's just... But there are 15 contributors to this book, and there's some
very
brilliant
good
people. So,
very good.
You know,
they're all in there.
You can go to Moon Rock Books, and you're going to find everything you want to know about the book and how you can get it. And it's a real bargain to understand what actually happened. You're one of the most crucial turning points in American history. You can finally understand what happened.
Oh, yeah. It's look right above the book cover. You'll see. To order Professor James Fetzer's new blockbuster, click here, and you can go right there and pick it up. Jim will be back tomorrow night as well as we take another look at the current campaign, such as it isn't. Hillary's not participating right now. We'll cover that tomorrow night. Thanks, Jim, and again, great work.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, there's another day for you. Wow, that was 3 hours. A lot of information to think about. Let's see. Tomorrow, Jim Fetzer, D.V. Kidd, and the man from Mars will be here. Another great program tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. Hope to have the pleasure of your company. We'll talk then.